Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome in to another new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can follow the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. I hope that you are excited because I am freaking excited. It is our first day of deep dives into this rookie class. And of course, there is no better place to start than with Jordan Morgan, the Packers' first pick. This is day one of deep dives. Going forward, we'll go day by day by day until we get through the entirety of the Packers draft class. There should be rookie mini camps coming up this weekend. We haven't received the full notification as of yet of what days and times those are going to be, but those should be this weekend. So we'll take a couple day break in the middle to kind of go through the rookie mini camps and what we experienced there from a credentialed standpoint, from a media standpoint, to be able to go and see those players for the first time. But outside of that, we're going to go very deep dive heavy over the course of the next couple weeks. As I mentioned, this is one of my favorite episodes of the entire year, going through each of these players. And my goal for you is not to tell you Jordan Morgan's going to be great. My goal for you is not to tell you Jordan Morgan's going to suck or anything in between. My goal is that I've watched a crap ton of Jordan Morgan tape now, going back all the way to his original freshman season where he got a really fun matchup with Kayvon Thibodeau for a couple snaps, to his true freshman season. Yeah, with the COVID year missed in, you've got a lot of plays, a lot of snaps, 5 seasons worth of football from Jordan Morgan at the University of Arizona. Looked like a baby at age 18 in his first snaps against Thibodeau. And then all the way through this past year where you see him really add some size and some bulk and really kind of thickened out over the course of his time at Arizona. But I've had the opportunity to watch a ton of his tape. And my goal for you is to let you see through my eyes all of the positives that I saw, all of the negatives that I saw, and then all the research that I did about Jordan Morgan as well, to tell you, here's what he does really well. Here's what he's not so great at. And here's what he's going to have to work on. And here's how Green Bay can accentuate his strengths. Here's how he fits in Green Bay. And now we wait and see. This is just the beginning of the process. What he becomes as a member of the Green Bay Packers will not be dependent upon whether or not he was too much of a reach at pick 25. It won't be dependent upon how I evaluate him as a player, how every draft pundit evaluates him, what you think of him. It's going to be up to Jordan Morgan, the coaching staff, and the Green Bay Packers to see how good he can become in Green Bay. And one of the big takeaways that I'll get to in this is I do think he is going to just about the perfect spot that he can go to in Green Bay. So we're going to go through the entire deep dive today of Jordan Morgan. Before I get there, really quick, shout out to Colin Wilson for signing up to be a Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube member. If you haven't done so yet, definitely check so out. 4 different tiers available to you. Rookie, pro, all pro, and Hall of Famer. And again, it's up to you. There's a lot of different things that you can get out of that. But even if you can't support financially, just like, subscribe, tell a friend about the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I've heard a lot of that lately, that they heard about it from a friend or a family member and they've checked it out and they've really enjoyed it. So just tell someone about it. But I appreciate sincerely all of your support. And now it's time to break down Jordan Morgan. So let's do it. Let's start with just who he is as a player. 6'5", 311 pounds, offensive lineman out of Arizona. Notice I didn't say offensive tackle out of Arizona because I think his position will be determined as he gets to Green Bay and as he plays and they ultimately figure out best 5 along the offensive line. We have heard already from Matt LaFleur that they plan to begin him. I don't want to say start him because it sounds like he's a starter then, but begin him at left tackle and sort of seemingly compete with Rashid Walker. But I'm going to say offensive lineman out of Arizona. He's a 5th-year senior. He will turn 23 this August. So still 22 years old right now, but turns 23 relatively quickly here before the start of the season. That's right around the right age, right? This is not overage. This is not young. This is normally where the sort of middle ground of the players is going to be, 22 or early 23. And he hits right in the middle of that. His arms, of course, as we've heard all about, are short, 32 7/8 inch arms. And I've heard a lot of people say a couple things. One, that the arm length isn't going to be super detrimental to him. And we've seen a lot of players with short arms in Green Bay have success. I think that second part is legitimately true. Brian Bulaga, shorter arms. Zach Tom, I believe shorter arms. There have been players in Green Bay that have had short arms. So this is not something that is totally new to the Packers, and they've had success drafting guys like this before. I've heard other, you know, people say as well, it's like, it's just barely missing 32 7/8 inch. We're talking about an eighth of an inch of a difference between that threshold or that cutoff where they're usually out of 33 inch arms. And to some extent that's true, but usually the cutoff for a tackle in the NFL is more of like 34 inches, and 33 is like the, are we really getting into serious cutoff territory? And now 32 7/8. So you could go an eighth of an inch at a time, eighth of an inch at a time, and say, all right, well, this is the cutoff. Well, what's one more eighth of an inch, or what's one more eighth of an inch? At some point, there has to be sort of a cutoff somewhere. Do I think this is going to be the be-all end-all, or that he can't survive at tackle in the NFL because of his 32 7/8 inch arms? Absolutely not. Brian Bulaga did a fantastic job talking about it on, I think it was Wilde and Tausch. He went on and basically said, you know, there's ways to win in the NFL. Him and Tausch were talking back and forth that there's ways to win in the NFL. Sometimes it actually makes you hone your technique a little bit more. Bulaga had successful with slightly longer arms than what Jordan Morgan has. So yes, shorter arms, but I don't see it being the differentiating factor. He's got quick feet, as Brian Gutekunst mentioned in his press conference, of what can help him mitigate those short arms. Great feet and great technique. And we're not ever going to talk about short arms. If the feet start to fail him, or if he, you know, puts on bad weight, or if he cannot clean up some of his technique issues, then yes, the arm length will be an issue. It's not something that is like a complete, you're not going to succeed in the NFL because of this. But what it does is it shrinks your, you know, ability to have any sort of margin of error. And if you really are going to be poor with technique or poor with footwork, and now you add short arms on top of it, it's just going to be really hard, because players in the NFL are going to outlength you. They're going to be longer. They're going to be quicker. They're going to be faster. And they're going to be able to get their hands on you better and quicker and faster. And if you don't have the arm length to match with that, then you better be good technically. So just the margin of error is what goes down a little bit here for Jordan Morgan. On the flip side, he has very large hands. 10.875 inch hands. And that was actually one of the largest sized hands for this tackle. He was the third largest hands of the top 15 offensive tackles in this draft. So very big hands, very short arms. And that's just where it comes in. His wingspan, by the way, as well, at 6'5", is still below average, but it's not really in that, like, oh my goodness, we're in dangerous territory here. Because of his overall height and his arm length, it's still good enough that I think that's probably why Green Bay felt that he could still play tackle in the league. And again, like I said, it's going to come down to foot speed, which he has, and then technique from there. So that's sort of how he's built. From an athleticism standpoint, we know Green Bay values their high-end athletes. 9.25 relative athletic score. He did not do the agility testing. As I talked about immediately following the draft, if you see anything with Jordan Morgan, it's his movement ability. It just jumps off the tape. Change of direction is good. I don't have any concerns whatsoever about his agility. My belief is that he would have tested very well in the agility drills. Would it have been elite? I don't know, but his movement on tape is fantastic, and I don't have any concerns here. There's a lot of players like Cooper DeJean, for example. I would have had some concerns of how he tested in the agility testing, and I think to some extent it might have been why he didn't do it. There are other players that when they did not do testing, you can clearly tell, all right, they didn't want those testing scores out there. With Jordan Morgan and agility, I have no concern whatsoever. 9.25 relative athletic score at tackle, as I mentioned. If you're interested, he's a 9.82 relative athletic score at guard. From a tackle standpoint, he tested 39th percentile in height, 58th percentile in weight, 84th percentile in bench press, 58th percentile in the vertical jump, 87th percentile in the broad jump, 91st percentile in the 40-yard dash, and 98th percentile in the 10-yard split. So very good numbers across the board, which lead to that very high-end relative athletic score. Some of his athletic comps, so I'm not talking about how his play is on the field or anything like that, but just the body type and then the testing that went into this. At tackle, very similar athletically to Tyron Smith, the longtime Cowboys left tackle who's now playing for the New York Jets. Very similar body types and athleticism and testing that Tyron Smith had was Jordan Morgan. And then same thing at guard was Kyle Long, the former Chicago Bear. Very similar as a guard, super athlete, had the same sort of size, had that tackle guard versatility. So very similar type athletes to Tyron Smith at left tackle and Kyle Long at guard. All right, from a Pro Football Focus standpoint, again, he has five seasons. Two of the seasons he barely played. In 2019, had 94 snaps with a 59.1 grade. 2020, 147 snaps with a 47.4 grade. Remember, 60 is average for PFF. So right around average his first season with those 94 snaps, then quite a bit below average in 2020 with a 47.4. Comes back in 2021 and finally plays significant snaps, 706. Only a 53.1 grade, so pretty decently below average. Comes back in 2022, plays 670 snaps with an 84.2 grade. And then in 2023, 787 snaps coming off of that torn ACL with an 83.4 grade. So significantly better in 2022 and 2023 than what he was in 2021. And I can tell you, I went back and watched the tape in 2021. It was not pretty. That was really sort of his learning curve year of like, welcome to college football. You're going to learn very quickly of how hard it is to play and you're going to have to get better. And then kudos to him for coming back in 2022 and really improving his game and then doing it again in 2023, despite coming off that torn ACL. Now in 2022, he had 418 pass pro snaps per PFF, allowed only one sack, two hits, 14 hurries, and 17 total pressures for a 97.8% pass block efficiency. In 2023, he had 459 pass pro snaps, two sacks, one hit, 10 hurries, 13 total pressures, and a 98.4% pass block efficiency. Now, if you're wondering, Andy, I'm not super familiar with pass rush efficiency. How does that compare to some of the best offensive tackles or offensive linemen in this draft that were drafted similarly to Jordan Morgan? Well, let me tell you. Amarius Mims had a 99.2% pass rush efficiency for his career. Remember, he had very limited snaps overall, but 99.2%. Tyler Guyton had a 98.2 and 98.3% pass rush efficiency rating over the past two seasons. So very similar to what we saw with Jordan Morgan. Graham Barton had a 97.2 and a 98.7. Once again, very similar. And Troy Fautanu had a 97.9 and a 98.7. Once again, very similar. So all of these players are in the same general vicinity for what their overall pass rush efficiency was, or pass pro efficiency, I should say. But again, this past season, only 13 total pressures allowed on 459 snaps in pass pro. Only two sacks, only three sacks combined in the past two seasons, only three hits combined in the past two seasons. He's done a very nice job overall of protecting the quarterback. I do think that when I watched him, it felt like it was a little bit more than that, but that was their charting of it, and I have no reason to doubt them. It just felt like maybe there were a few more pressures that were on tape, but it is what it is, and I, like I said, I totally trust PFF. Notes, he's a two-time team captain. He did tear his ACL at the end of 2022, and it was super impressive that he was able to come back and play early in 2023. And then maybe most importantly to the entire scouting report today, Dane Brugler, for whatever reason, I don't know how he found this out, but noted that he loves horror films. So this is going to be huge for Dusty Evely. And at some point we need to do a Dusty Evely scouting report just based on his love of horror films and how that's going to translate onto the field. But it's an interesting note nonetheless. And it certainly adds to the overall scouting report here. All right, let's get to the crux of this breakdown today. And that is what his strengths and weaknesses are based off of his tape over his entirety of his career, but really, you know, honing in on these last two seasons, particularly. Let's start with strengths. Let's go with all of the good, juicy stuff first. The biggest strength, his biggest thing that comes close to a superpower for Jordan Morgan is his movement ability. And there is, in my opinion, some really elite stuff on tape from a pure movement skill. And it starts off with being incredibly light on his feet. He gets out of his stance really, really quick. And that is such an important trait that goes, I think, a little bit under the radar sometimes as an offensive lineman. You watch from the sideline view, and what you want to see is who gets out of their stance first, because you are just at such an advantage if you can get out of your stance before the opponent can get out of their stance and start getting either into your rhythm or start attacking if you're run blocking, whatever you're being asked to do. It just gives you that momentary advantage where you're getting set and you're being able to focus on them before they're getting set and can focus on you. And that first point of attack, whoever gets hands on first, is so important when it comes to pass rushing and pass protecting. And Morgan's ability to get out of his stance is really great. And it's, like I said, one of the things that come close to a superpower for him. Like I said, he's incredibly light on his feet, has impressive change of direction ability. And here's the big thing. when I say that he has good movement skills, it's one thing. It's great if he can get from point A to point B. That 40-yard dash, that 10-yard dash, that's great. You want to see that. It doesn't necessarily mean anything if you're not combining it with how you're blocking when you're moving. But here's the thing. Let's start with a pin pull play, one of Green Bay's staple rushing plays through the course of last season. They ran it a bunch. They have a lot of success with it. He is, in my opinion, close to being a master at this play. He comes out in space and his movement is ridiculous. He looks like he's just skating on ice out there. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And he's getting out there and he's attacking corners in space. And now imagine you've got this 320-pound, 6'5 offensive lineman that's running at you with pace. And he has the change of direction ability where if you try to like kind of juke him or get around him, he's just, nah, screw that. I'm going to block you into oblivion anyway. Like that is really fun to watch. If I could do anything to like show you like what is the sexiest aspect of his game, you just get him out pulling in space and it is a joy to watch. There's a lot of stuff on this tape that leaves you wanting a lot more and desiring, you know, somebody that's maybe a little bit more technically proficient, but you could cut up pulling plays of him all day and I could watch those suckers all freaking day. That's how fun he is in space. But it's not just pin pulls, it is screen plays too. I noted somebody got mad at me for saying that he was a weapon in space. I'm not comparing him to Barry Sanders here, guys, but what he can do from a screen standpoint by like, so those wide receiver screens that you get out and you get the offensive lineman out in space, he can get out there in space in a hurry. And you just sort of think of the way that Matt LaFleur thinks and he draws up plays and having one of your tackles that can get out there to block those players in a flash. That is going to be something that I promise you, if he's at tackle, Matt LaFleur will use at his disposal and utilize all of those beautiful movement skills to get out there and help the Jaden Reeds and the Dontavian Wickses and the Bo Meltons and the Christian Watsons as they're trying to get those screens set up. You've got a guy that's flying and taking out people. That's going to be something that's super advantageous. And then it's also getting to the second level. All right. Multiple plays on tape where he's initiating that first block, that combo block, and then getting to the second level and just sealing a guy off. Or if he's just responsible for that second level block, getting there in a hurry, getting there before the linebacker can get over, sealing and letting the running back have that huge alley, to his backside. Just anything that you're doing that's asking him to move, he's going to do it extremely well. Whether, again, it's a pull play from the inside, a pin pull, a screen pass, a second level block, a combo block that leads to the second level, anything that can get him moving and in space, that's where he seems to feel comfortable. And that seems to really be what the biggest strength for Jordan Morgan is. So if you want to get him going from, you know, day one, get him on the move, get him some screen passes, get him some toss plays, whatever you can do. And that's really what's probably going to be the biggest comfort for him as he starts off in the NFL. His next biggest strength is that he fits that Packer mentality. And that was one of the things that Brian Gutekunst mentioned in his press conference right away. This is a Packer person through and through. As we mentioned, two-time team captain. He is considered to be somebody that lives in the weight room, that is, that almost like motivates the players around him in the weight room, and that is just a great person through and through. One of the very first things that Goody said was, you guys are going to love when you meet this kid. From all angles, from the scouting reports ahead of time, from the scouting reports that Bob McGinn was able to get, from what Goody said in the press conference, it sounds like this kid is just exactly the type of player that you want in your locker room. And we've been talking about this a little bit over the past 3 days with all the players that the Packers got that are team captains. It doesn't necessarily matter. You could be the literal nicest person in the world. It doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be able to go out and block Khalil Mack and some of the best pass rushers in the NFL, right? So it's great that you're nice. You still need to go out and, you know, punch the guy across from you in the face and, you know, be able to, you know, beat him in an NFL situation. That's not necessarily going to happen just by being the nicest guy. But what it does mean is, A, I do believe that this is a very special locker room that this Packers team has right now. It adds to that. It certainly does not detract from that. But most importantly, it makes it more likely that you are going to hit the ceiling that you have. And with a player like Jordan Morgan that has a significantly high ceiling, but has work to do to get to that ceiling, you want to add that with the person that you know is going to work extremely hard to get from point A to point B, to get to that ceiling, to reach it. And he may never, ever fully reach it, but at least it's going to be high, and it's at least less likely that he's going to be at the floor of his capabilities, that he's going to keep growing. And we saw that all throughout college. He got better every single year that he was in college, and you could see it on tape. It was really fun to go through this. I started with his, you know, true freshman year, and then his, you know, I think his second freshman year, sophomore, junior, and senior year, just one after the other. And the growth that you saw and leading up until his final season was just kind of really fun to watch. It's like Interstellar, where he sees everything like grow up right before his eyes and like everything that happened. And obviously it's one of the most emotional scenes in the movie. Like, this is not the spoilers, by the way. This is something with like Jordan Morgan. As you watch it from his true freshman year to his final season in college, you see him sort of grow right before your eyes and really become a better player. So that was one of the more fun aspects of going through this process with Jordan Morgan. Hey friends, you may not know this because usually you hear me talking about the Packers 365 days a year, but I am actually a massive, massive fan of the NBA playoffs. And while I've always enjoyed NBA basketball, it's been taken to an entirely different level as I've been utilizing Prize Picks to test my skills and add to that excitement level of the NBA playoffs. Prize Picks is the most fun that I have ever had, winning up to 100 times my money, and there's never been a better time to join the Prize Picks community. Did you know that there's over 5 million members that have already downloaded the app? 5 million! This playoff season, star players are in play in a significant way. Keep an eye out for star players on the board, and you could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. This week, I'm going with Brooke Lopez, Paul George, and Jalen Brunson for rebounds, points, and assists, respectively. And I'm already geeking out about putting Caitlin Clark's three-pointers made stat line in my lineup when women's season tips off in just over a month. Basketball plus Prize Picks equals epic excitement. So what are you waiting for? Download the app today and use code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. There is nothing quite like the thrill of live NBA playoff basketball this time of year. And if you haven't had the opportunity to catch a playoff game in person, let me just tell you, you are missing out. But you don't need to be. You could attend an NBA playoff game easily with the use of Game Time. Game Time is an authorized ticket marketplace of the NBA, which makes getting playoff tickets even faster and easier. And guess what? Prices actually go down the closer that you get to tip off. With killer last minute deals, all-in prices, seat views, and their lowest price guarantee, Game Time takes all the awful, frustrating aspects of purchasing tickets out of the equation, and they help you get the perfect tickets that you want. I'm on my Game Time app right now, scrolling through Bucks tickets for Game 5, and not only are there plenty of great seats available, but the deals are incredible, and I can literally click and purchase any number of amazing deals right now. The best thing about Game Time is definitely the ease of use, no question about it, but their lowest price guarantee and their cancellation protection have come in huge for me in the past and are two more of my favorite features. Let me just say it again. The last minute deals come in clutch every single time. You can save up to 60% by buying last minute tickets for sports, concerts, comedy shows, and so much more. So get in on the action and take the guesswork out of buying NBA tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code PACKADAY for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code PACKADAY, PACKADAY, for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. Next up, he has true left tackle ability. And I know some people really wanted a Graham Barton, and I think Barton was taken one pick after by Tampa Bay. The big thing here, when Green Bay announced the selection of Jordan Morgan, tackle. When Graham Barton was announced as a member of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, center. You are going to pay a bit more of a premium when you're selecting a player who you think can be a true left tackle, a true starting left tackle in the NFL. As Bill Belichick so perfectly surmised when he said that he really liked this pick for Green Bay, he said, these guys do not grow on trees. And he is 100% right. It is really hard to find good tackles in the NFL. And we have to sort of adjust our curve a little bit, because sometimes, even if he doesn't end up great, if Jordan Morgan ends up being a good, solid NFL tackle that you don't have to necessarily help on and is going to be somebody that you don't have to really necessarily worry about, he may not ever be great. He may not ever be a Pro Bowler or a Hall of Famer or an All-Pro. but he's just a good solid left tackle. You can live with that, and that's going to be a really good number 25 overall pick. Maybe there was somebody there that ends up being an all-pro or a Hall of Famer. I guarantee somebody from pick 26 to the end of the draft is probably going to be, right? But if you get a good left tackle, that is a really good pick at 25. And it's because those players are so hard to find. Even a good, solid tackle in the NFL is very difficult to find. And it's great that Green Bay has a Rashid Walker that's there already. They've got a Zach Tom on the other side. Elgton Jenkins can probably kick out in a pinch. You've got some developmental players in Luke Tenuta and Caleb Jones. It's great that you have that. You can never have enough, and finding somebody that has the ability to be a starting left tackle is huge. Now it's up to Morgan to see how good of a left tackle he can become and if he can stay at left tackle or if he does ultimately have to move inside. But I do believe he can play left tackle. Bill Belichick believes he can play left tackle. The Packers believe he can play left tackle, and he's going to begin his career at left tackle. And that ability is always going to push you up the draft board. And that ability is huge to have because, like I said, those players are very, very difficult to find. And he was asked to be the left tackle in college. And what I mean by that is not just the consistent left tackle through the entirety of his career, but they left him on an island. I talked about this when I went over my breakdown of Kool-Aid McKinstry. When I first watched the tape of Kool-Aid McKinstry, I'm like, man, he kind of gets beat a decent amount for a potential first or early second round corner. I'm not sure how I feel about this. And then I circled back and I watched him towards the end of the process again and just kind of wanted to go back. And then you always want to ask the whys. Why was this happening? And you quickly realize it's because, oh, Alabama's putting Kool-Aid McKinstry on an island every single play in man-to-man coverage, a lot of press man-to-man coverage against some of the best wide receivers in the SEC. Yeah, you're going to get beat sometimes. You're not going to have a perfect batting average when you are going against that. And he was left on an island. He was asked to do a lot. They trusted him with a lot. And with that is going to become some learning moments and some hiccups along the way. It's part of the job description. I would just put it that way. It's part of the job description that you're on an island and you're just going to get beat sometimes. And sort of the same was with Jordan Morgan. Like, you know, he wasn't playing in the SEC, but he still saw some very good pass rushers and they left him on an island. It was extremely rare that you ever saw him get help at left tackle. And part of that is going to be like, hey, we're leaving you on an island. We're trusting you. You're going to get beat sometime. That's okay. But more often than not, you're going to get the job done and we trust you out there. And that's a noteworthy takeaway from this as well. I do believe that he fits perfectly, and I mean perfectly, in Green Bay's zone blocking scheme. He is a zone blocking tackle slash guard all day, every day. This is what he was meant to do. I don't think he was meant to be in a mauling, physical power offense. I think he can do a little bit of it, which Green Bay does a little bit of it. I think that mix is actually perfect as well, but he was meant for this. He was meant for Matt LaFleur's offense, and this is a very good fit schematically for the Packers and for Jordan Morgan. I actually thought that he was a much better run blocker than I initially gave him credit for. And a lot of it was the stuff I mentioned earlier, the ability to move, get to the second level, the pulling ability on the pin pulls, the toss plays, all that I thought he was much better at. But even just in general, I thought he did a much better job than I initially gave him credit for in run blocking. I think he can be a good run blocker right away, especially in his own blocking scheme. I don't necessarily think that you found a player who's going to be mauling people into the end zone or throwing guys to the ground with pancakes or things like that. But this is a very Packers type offensive lineman where they're going to hit their spots. They're going to seal you. They're going to wall you off. They're going to anchor, and you're hoping to create those creases for the running back. And that's what Jordan Morgan can do. And I think he actually does it pretty darn well. And like I said, better than I initially gave him credit for in my first tape review. He will absolutely wipe people out as a backside blocker. He has, as we have discussed ad nauseum, fantastic developmental traits. He has everything that you look for in a build your own left tackle. Do you wish he had a little bit more core strength? Yes. Do you wish his arms were a little bit longer? Yes. But overall, the athletic traits, the size, the ability to bend at the knees, the ability to have that unbelievable movement skills, change of direction, strength, all of it, is a pretty build your own offensive tackle type of player. And it's a great ball of clay to begin with as you start him out with an NFL training program and start getting him ingrained as a Green Bay Packer and what exactly you want out of him as your left tackle in the NFL. As I mentioned, he had the third largest hands of the top 15 offensive tackles in the draft, and you will see him display extremely strong hands at the point of attack. So once he does, if he can get his hands, if he can get those short arms and his big hands inside and actually get good hand placement, he will control you. And that's what you want to see. Now, his hands or his arms are shorter, so it doesn't always happen, and they get very wide. We'll talk about that in the weaknesses. But when he does get his hands inside, and when he gets those big, you know, oven mitts or claws or whatever lame cliche we want to use here, when he gets those on you, he does control you. And like I said, that is very much what you want to see. He's a natural knee bender, rarely, if ever, bends at the waist. You do not see him bending over. And that's like one of the traits that is so hard to take out of a player and sort of unlearn. If you see a waist bender, you're just going to probably like struggle forever to try to get them to not do it. But he doesn't. He really bends at the knees, which is something that is really hard to train, but you can tell he spent a lot of time mastering that. And it just seems to come naturally to him as well, which is a huge plus. He came back really quick from the torn ACL. And I wish he didn't have to come back from the torn ACL, but the fact that he did have to fight through adversity and the fact that he made it through and got back as quick as he did. And like, I can't tell you, the single most impressive aspect of Jordan Morgan is the fact that he had a late season injury in 2022, the ACL injury, and first snaps of 2023. Not only is he back, like there was no signs of any sort of lost movement skills or anything. We're talking some real Wolverine stuff here where he just healed and got better. And you're like, are we sure? Was this an Enigbari situation where he didn't actually tear the ACL? Because that's how good he looked. And to fight back through that and work insanely hard as he did to get back ready to play his final season from day one and look as good as he did from day one, super, super impressive stuff from Jordan Morgan. As I mentioned, he got better every single season. The growth from that 2019 tape till 2023 was massively impressive. And then, of course, we didn't even say the V word yet, which is versatility. Now, the interesting thing about Jordan Morgan's versatility is he's never had any actual versatility in college. He's played left tackle his entire career. There's a couple snaps where you'll see him where they put him out at right tackle on a running play to sort of get an advantage, but he's been a left tackle his entire career. And with that, you believe he has the versatility. He projects to have versatility, but he's never really displayed it in college. Now, I have absolutely zero question whatsoever that you could kick this guy into guard and it would not be an issue. I have no question that he could be a player that has that guard versatility. Now, whether he can stay outside at tackle in the NFL, like these are going to be the interesting questions. And this is where you get him into training camp, you get him into the program, and you just see where he fits long-term. And you have great versatility with Elgton Jenkins and Zach Tom. You've got players that can play a variety of different spots and different sides of the line. You just sort of let this come in and figure everything out as time goes on and get your best five out there. But he should have realistic four position versatility, at least theoretically, at left tackle, left guard, right guard, and right tackle in the NFL. Weaknesses. The weakness is that the tape was all over the place, just extremely inconsistent. And what it mostly came down to was just technique. And the technique needs a lot of work. He oversets, he opens his hips far too early. He's completely inconsistent in his kick slide, and he sometimes doesn't get enough depth. Sometimes he overcommits, and he's susceptible to pass rushers, countering him or getting back inside on him. I saw him lose to speed. I saw him lose to power. I saw him lose on spin moves. I saw him just lose on just poor technique where the other guy didn't even do anything special, and he just lost the rep. It just needs to be far more consistent, and that technique needs a lot of work. I've seen him duck his head on numerous occasions, which is very correctable, but it's something that you definitely want to make sure you don't do very often, because when you duck your head, you're just losing everything. You're losing your balance. You're losing your, obviously, vision on the offensive tackle. You're susceptible to everything at that point. Again, he opens up too wide. He's susceptible to opening his shoulder and leaving it open for defenders to get their hands inside on him. And it just all really needs to get cleaned up. And the biggest one, the biggest, biggest, biggest one is his hand placement. As I mentioned earlier, when he gets set, stays on balance, gets his hands inside and uses those huge hands to manipulate the defender, it chef kiss. It looks awesome. It looks really, really good. But far too often, his hands are out wide. which is going to a couple things. He's not going to be able to control the defender the way that he wants. It's going to allow his chest open so that the defender can get inside on him and then push him back into the quarterback and just out leverage him. But the other thing is that I talked about Marshawn Lloyd, where the two things that are catastrophic for him are the fumbles and the poor pass protection, where if you can't clean up the fumbles and the poor pass pro, like you're just going to be not able to get on the field at all. The catastrophic combo here is that if you've got the short arms plus bad hand placement, you're constantly putting yourself in really, really difficult positions. And you almost have to be perfect with everything else in order to make up for that. And the other thing too, when that hand placement is outside, you're just going to be susceptible to a lot more holding calls in the NFL. And that's going to be something that he has to clean up. If I were Green Bay, that'd be the 1A thing that I would focus on. Let's get those hands in the right spot. Let's get him targeting inside. And let's make sure that we don't have hands all over the place. If you can clean that up, we're already talking about a much improved player, even from a player that already was good in college, rarely allowed pressures, and was a first round pick in the NFL. Just clean that up, and it's going to look a night and day different from what it did in college. I want to see him actually control the battle a bit more often. There is so much of his tape where it looks like he's the one that's fighting for his life. And like he does it, meaning actually Mike Wall said this perfectly, where there's a little bit of Mark Tauscher to him, where like he's just sort of winning the rep, but it's not what you would like ever put in a pass pro book of like how you would win as an offensive lineman in the NFL. It doesn't look right, but it gets the job done. But with that, it's more of like, he's just constantly treading to do everything he can to make sure that that guy's not getting to the quarterback. And what I want to see him do as a 25th overall pick, first rounder, potential big time player in the NFL, I want to see you dictate terms. I want to see you be the one that is in control and in command and dominating at the point of attack. A little bit too much of Jordan Morgan being the nail and not the hammer. And I want to see him do a little bit more hammering. And I think if he can just get his technique down and work that hand placement a little bit more, let the game slow down for him a little bit more, maybe that can come with time. But in college, it was him sort of the one that was never really in control of the battle. He would win it a lot because he has all of those natural traits, but I just want to see him be the one that's like, you know, I'm going to beat you, you're not going to beat me, and I'm just going to be here and you're not going to be able to do it. Like David Bakhtiari, I'm obviously nobody's like Bakhtiari, he's one of the elite of all time. But when Bakhtiari gets into his set, it's just game over. Like he was bored out there because there was nothing anyone could show him that he didn't know how to do perfectly. And that's of course not going to come as a rookie offensive tackle in the NFL for Jordan Morgan. But I just wanted to see a little bit more in college where he was the guy that was dictating terms and we just didn't see it. I want to see more violence in his punch. And sometimes it's because his punch isn't landing in its appropriate spot that he doesn't get that jarring punch, but I want to see a little bit more violence there. He has a good low center of gravity, and at times his balance looks uncanny, where it's just like he's always, but there are other times where, and I think this is sort of due to him again being all over the place and just trying to like hang on by the skin of his teeth sometimes, where his balance just doesn't look like what it should be. When he is on balance, it looks really, really, really good. But again, so many times he's just a little bit all over the place and inconsistent. And one of the words phrases I wrote down was a little Mortal Kombat-y in my scouting notes. And I just wrote, finish him. And what I meant was I want him to, because there's so many times where he gets to his spot and he gets locked on. And I just want to see him finish the block with physicality and intensity. And so many times he gets there. He's out of his stance quick. He gets to his spot. He gets to his landmark. He latches on to the defensive player. And I just want to see him like now obliterate him, like block him out. Like so many times you see like when we watch the draft and you see an offensive lineman or a wide receiver and you see them block him all the way out of bounds. Or you, there's not a single play that I saw on tape from Jordan Morgan that had anything that was remotely like that. And I just want to see him play with that aggression through the whistle, not anything after the whistle. We don't need any 15-yard penalties here, but just you've got him, finish him and keep blocking him through. And that's the big thing. All right, next, I want to see him a little bit more calm, balanced, and zen in pass pro. And that's kind of what I said of like controlling the play a little bit more. That's kind of what I want to see out of him. So it's a little bit of a difference here because when he gets latched on the second level, specifically in run blocking, that's where I want him to finish the play. In pass pro, instead of being, and this kind of goes again back to him being in control of the play rather than the one that's being the nail and not the hammer, I just want him to have that calm and that focus And this kind of goes back to him fighting for his life and doing everything. It's just like everything's sort of moving sometimes. And I just want that game to slow down for him and him to kind of let the game and the pass rusher come to him and know that he has great feet. He's 6'5", 320. He's got everything that he needs to succeed. Yes, the player's going to come to him. And yes, that player's going to throw a variety of different moves at him. But just have that calm, that balance, that zen to not overstrike, to not overextend himself, to not try to lunge when he doesn't need to or lower his head. This all comes with time. He's not a fully fledged master of offensive tackle technique at this point in his career. And that's what Green Bay is going to bring him in. And they're going to teach him all the techniques that he needs to be successful. But I want to see that game slow down for him just a little bit more and him to become that technician that he needs to become to really be an expert and a really good left tackle in the NFL. Needs to improve his anchor and just do a little bit better job of staving off bull rushes. And I think too many times, again, it gets to the defender getting their hands in his chest and able to kind of forklift him and push him back into the quarterback a little bit. But a little bit more, you know, weight in the backside and just being able to sit down and anchor, that's going to probably come with time. And as he gets into the weight room a little bit, but he needs to do a better job of that. As we talked about earlier, he will struggle with length a little bit. And then the other thing too, we talk like Detroit loves to go with their speed rushers in a wide nine, or if there's going to be speed rushers in a wide nine that have all that runway to gather speed, and then kind of like what is like a two-way go, or they can get around the edge, or they can counter or Euro step you inside or spin move inside. I think he's going to really struggle because he struggled with speed in college. And I think that's going to give him some trouble in the NFL where he gets back in his stance. And now an Aiden Hutchinson's got a full head of steam. Is he going to go inside? Is he going to go around me? Is he going to try to go through me? I think that's going to give Jordan Morgan some real issues. And that's going to be something that he needs to work on the NFL level as well, because there were signs in college that those speed rushers gave him a little bit of an issue. The last thing here, and this is not a good thing or a bad thing, and I mentioned this a little bit in my negatives as well, the game has not slowed down for him yet. Nor has it for most rookies coming into the NFL, but it hasn't even like really come close to slowing down for him. Now, on the bad side, you would like it to. You would like the game to start slowing down for him and him to have a little bit more calm and comfort and less panic when things are going on. The good news is he's a good offensive tackle already, was really good these last couple of years in Arizona, and the game hasn't come close to slowing down for him yet. So imagine if he does have the game slow down and it does get a little bit more calm for him and he does see things before they happen. If that happens, you're going to see him take a significant step at the NFL level. If it doesn't, you're probably going to always be left wanting for a little bit more, but that's what I want to see next. And again, it just all comes with reps, with experience, with technique work. That's what Green Bay is going to be working on with him over these course of the next 3-4 years in Green Bay. And we'll see after that if he gets the fifth year option and the contract beyond. But right now, get him in camp, start working with him, and see if we can get that game slowing down a little bit for him. The player comp, Jim Nagy, Brandon Thorne, and Dane Brugler all independently had the exact same player comp for Jordan Morgan. And that was Matthew Bergeron, the offensive lineman of the Atlanta Falcons. I loved Bergeron coming out of Syracuse. I think he was a very early second round pick a season ago. Started, I believe, every game last year, played over 1,000 snaps. They did actually play Bergeron at left guard in Atlanta. I don't think they ever really had any intention of playing him at tackle. I think he was going to be a guard through and through. It's going to be a little bit different with Jordan Morgan, likely coming in to play tackle to begin with. But that was an interesting comp that, again, three super smart people that scout this game very, very well all put on him was Matthew Bergeron. Mine was Kyle Long. And I mentioned the comp earlier from an athletic standpoint, but I actually think the football Kyle Long, like how he plays football, is actually really relevant here too. If you remember Kyle Long, he was an athletic freak. You know, he didn't really know the technique stuff. He had to work on all of it as he came over and started with the Chicago Bears. They put him at guard for a while. He succeeded at guard. They eventually kicked him out to tackle and let him play tackle for a while. I think that this could sort of be a very similar career arc for Jordan Morgan that we saw with Kyle Long. And whether he starts at tackle and goes to guard or starts at guard and goes to tackle, I think you could see him play guard and tackle in the NFL, has all that raw natural ability. You want to see him be a little bit better as a technician, maybe never quite gets to the ceiling that you would like him to, but can be a very good offensive lineman in the NFL for however long Kyle Long did it in Chicago. I think injury issues and some other things kind of knocked him out of the league in the end, but I could see a very similar type of career for Jordan Morgan that we saw with Kyle Long in Chicago. So what can Jordan Morgan bring to Green Bay in 2024? Well, I think he's going to be immediate competition for Rashid Walker. If things go well, he's probably just your starting left tackle with a bunch of upside at that left tackle position. If things go okay, maybe Rashid Walker wins that left tackle spot, and maybe they look to see if he can compete with Sean Ryan at right guard and see if he can win that battle. If things don't go great and he's just not ready to play, I think you'll probably see him as the first offensive lineman up off the bench, with Walker starting at left tackle, Jenkins, Myers, Ryan, and Tom from left to right, with, again, Sean Ryan be the first guy up if any of those guys go down. I do think Green Bay is going to need him in 2024, and I think they're going to need him to play at a starting caliber level. I'm not saying it needs to be perfect from day one, but they need the depth from him, and ideally he just starts and plays well right away, but they're going to need him in 2024, and if he can't, if all of a sudden the game is too much for him in his rookie season, that is really going to hurt the Packers' depth. But I do think he comes in and provides some solid depth at worst, and potentially that starting caliber player either at left tackle or right guard from probably the opening week. Physically, he has all the tools, and now it's just time for him to master his craft. And that's what his rookie season will be about, is getting into Green Bay, working on his technique, getting that hand placement down, working on his kick slide, and just making sure he becomes that well-rounded offensive lineman in Green Bay. My final thoughts, I'll leave you with this. When I first watched Jordan Morgan, wasn't a huge fan of the tape. I put a early to mid second round grade on him. Doesn't matter. Like I said, it's whatever I thought of him is not going to affect how Jordan Morgan plays in the NFL in any capacity. Has really zero bearing on anything. Wasn't, you know, a huge fan, and I thought like early second to mid second was about the right grade or right range for him. Now we found out later that Dallas had him as four players they were considering when they traded down, and Guyton was the only one left by the time they took him. So if Green Bay took Guyton, it was probably going to be Jordan Morgan that the Cowboys selected. I'm not saying I necessarily would have taken Guyton either, but we know that Dallas liked him a lot. There's a lot of buzz, a lot of news out there that Washington was trying to significantly trade up in the first round to get Jordan Morgan as well. So I can say, yeah, it'd be great if they could get him at pick 41. It'd also be great if they could get him in the seventh round, but these things were never ultimately going to happen. And this goes back to me saying before, when somebody's going to be a left tackle, you're going to pay a little bit more of a premium for it because those players are so hard to find. When you guys may remember, some of you may, a handful of years back when Rashawn Gary got drafted, one of my more famous moments is I was on GZ TV's channel at the time, and I was very, very disappointed with the pick. And a couple things. One is, and I've talked about this before, I wanted a little bit more at pick 12, meaning production in college, and he had the shoulder injury and he didn't know if he was going to miss games, and it felt like it was, you know, potentially going to be a big issue. In hindsight, the shoulder issue did not end up being a big issue. He was able to fix it the next offseason. And then I went back and I watched the tape immediately after I went on my thing of like, this is really disappointing at pick 12. And I rewatched it, and I rewatched it very closely, and not with rose-tinted glasses, just with a new, you know, try to watch it with a different set of eyes. And I realized quickly that I had some of that evaluation wrong. And I wrote about it. He wrote a huge article in Cheesehead TV a couple days later and just said, I got it wrong. I was wrong. The tape was a lot better than I thought it was. There were reasons to explain the lack of production, a lot of double teams, even triple teams on Rashawn. I just was wrong in my evaluation. So as I was going through, this is a true story too. The night before, I was talking with Mark Eckel because he had an article coming up of who was going to be his prediction for the pick. And he was choosing between a couple players, and his second choice at the time was Jordan Morgan. And he asked me, and he's like, who is your choice? And I'm like, I have to go through some things tonight, but I'm leaning towards Jordan Morgan's going to be my prediction at pick 25 for Green Bay. So I go back and I watch all the tape, and I'm watching Guyton and I'm watching Jordan Morgan again. I'm watching all these guys that are theoretical picks at 25, and I watch the tape again and I'm like, I just don't think his tape is good enough. I don't think they're going to take him at 25 just because it just doesn't look good enough to be at 25. I've watched it again. And of course it ends up being Jordan Morgan. So my hope going into this was, I want to watch the tape again, and I hope upon all hope that I got it wrong again. I hope like Rashawn Gary, I got it wrong again. And I'm going through the tape and I watch his early tape. I watch his 2021 tape, which is really not great. 2022 is a little bit better. I'm going through 2023 again. I'm still seeing some of the same mistakes and I'm still not feeling great about it. And then I get to the UCLA film. It was actually the last full game that I watched, every single snap of that game, of the UCLA tape. And I watched that game. Actually, one of the things that I had in my notes prior to that game was, can he please just play one great game? Because I didn't feel like there was ever the games, even against some of the Northern Arizonas of the world and some of these were ever played. He had a really good game against North Dakota State, a really good game against North Dakota State. but I was really just wanting him to put together a really great game against one big-time opponent. And he has a game against UCLA in the UCLA film. I posted it on Twitter if you want to see it. It is phenomenal. It is phenomenal. That one game, if you want proof of concept of what Jordan Morgan can become, it is the UCLA tape. It is gorgeous. He takes out Leitu in a couple plays. He's going up against Gabe Murphy on a few plays and does a really nice job against him. He's great in the run game. He's phenomenal in pass pro. It looks fantastic. Still technique things that need to get cleaned up, but that was the proof of concept. I wholeheartedly believe that that tape against UCLA is enough to like put him into that first round conversation. I think that tape got him in the first round conversation. That's how good it was. Now, all the other stuff, still some flaws, still some issues, but this is one of his last games in college. This was proof of concept. This was to say, all right, he went up against big time competition. He had a phenomenal game. You can see it all. You can see the vision just in that game alone. So that's where I'm at. Everything that he needs to clean up, everything that we talked about today and all the negative things, except for the arm length, which is not an issue if he gets the other stuff cleaned up, but everything else is a fixable thing. There's nothing that will hold him back from being successful in the NFL. It is just how quickly he can get that technique stuff down. And that's what you're looking for. Somebody that showed proof of concept with a beautiful game against UCLA. Somebody that has every single trait that you can't teach, that you can't coach. Somebody that looks like a prototypical left tackle in the NFL, that Bill Belichick said he's a left tackle all day. No question about it. He's going to be a really good player. That's what you're looking for. And now you clean up the issues, you fix it, you make him a professional, and hopefully he gets to that point where, like I always like to say, you can set it and forget it, not have to worry about him on that left side, and he just becomes a long-term and big-time left tackle for Green Bay into the foreseeable future. If left tackle does not work out, he still has serious potential as a guard in the NFL. I love, again, the fact that he got better year over year over year over year. There's never been a dip. Even coming back from a torn ACL, there was not a dip. He continued to get better every single year, and hopefully he continue that in the NFL as well and take another step in his progression in 2024 as a rookie in the NFL. Love the fact that he was able to come back so quickly and so impressively from the torn ACL, went through adversity and came out better on the other side of it. Love that he's a Packers-type player. Great locker room guy. That's going to only add to what they already have in that locker room. Overall, yes, the tape leaves you wanting more, and I wanted to see him dominate a little bit more. I thought even against, again, lesser competition, wasn't necessarily that dominant player, but he is going to a really, really, really good spot in Green Bay. And one of the things that I had in my pre-draft notes is fit will matter for him. Fit is going to matter for Jordan Morgan. And Green Bay is about as perfect of a fit as you could get for him. Perfect scheme, perfect type of player that they have developed on numerous occasions in the past. And you do get somebody that, if he does have a little bit of a learning curve, if he's not ready to go from day one, maybe he needs a half a season to really get ready and really acclimated into the NFL. Guess what? Green Bay, assuming no injuries, has a starting five right now that they know they can be successful with. So if he needs a little bit of time, they're going to need him at some point because those injuries are going to hit, but Green Bay can give it to him as well. I think this is a perfect fit, and I think that mattered a ton for Jordan Morgan, and I think he went to the perfect place. I have some concerns, but I can see the vision. Yes, pick 41 would have been cool, but it wasn't going to happen. Pick 25, fine. I get it. I understand it. And you're, like I said, you're going to pay a premium for a left tackle in the NFL. That's what they did. And now I think they just have to develop all the traits that are there for him to be successful and worthy of that top 25 pick. I cannot wait to see him up and close at rookie minicamp this upcoming weekend. And here's the last thing I'll say. This pick overall at pick 25, say what you will, maybe the tape leaves a little bit to be desired. It is a good, understandable meat and potatoes, fruit and vegetables type of pick for Green Bay. Something that maybe isn't the sexiest thing in the world. Maybe would have liked a more and a well-rounded, ready-to-go player from day one. But these are the type of players that if you want to keep Jordan Love upright through the course of his career, you've got to take. You've got to find ways to take him, and you've got to find ways to develop him. And hopefully he hits his upside and he becomes a decade-long left tackle in Green Bay. Even if he hits somewhere in the middle, you're going to get a good, average, solid tackle or guard. And there's still so much value in that, even at pick 25. And even if you miss, even if he just does not hit, he's still probably going to be, his floor is probably a 5 to 8 year rotational depth guard tackle in the NFL. Freaking Andre Dillard, who the Packers just signed, is flailed out of the NFL through two different teams already. And Green Bay, he's still getting a shot in what, year six, as a potential swing tackle for the Packers. Like, even if it doesn't work out, he's looking at a long career in the NFL. There's too much to work with for him to completely fail. And like I said, even if he's solid to good, you're getting a good, solid offensive lineman, which in any way you look at it, are really hard to find in the NFL right now. And the upside is tremendous. Like I said, finish this. I cannot wait to see him at rookie minicamp, and I cannot wait to see what he becomes. I can see the vision, and I'm excited for Jordan Morgan as a member of the Green Bay Packers. All right, that is going to do it for me today. Love these deep dives. Hope you guys enjoy them as well. A lot to go over. I know this is a hefty meat and potatoes episode about Jordan Morgan, but this is everything that you need to know. And we'll do it again tomorrow as we look at Edgerrin Cooper. Can't wait to get to it. Shout out to our Hall of Fame and All-Pro members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Jay Bradad, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Bremen, David Prendergast, Dan Miller, Alex Wong, Arnaldo Espinoza, and Michael Shipper. I'll see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.